Take your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 33. So turn your Bibles back to Deuteronomy chapter 33. We're going to read one verse starting in verse 25. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 25. The Bible says, "Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you so much for all that we can learn from your word and apply to our lives. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you meet with us tonight. Heavenly Father, if you don't meet with us tonight, we would be wasting our time. But Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the fact that you command us to be in church and that you meet with us. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you use your word tonight to, like only you can do, skillfully use the word of God to convict our hearts and to challenge us. And Heavenly Father, I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. What we're going to talk about tonight is you know, this morning was about Nebuchadnezzar, and it was a little bit of a challenge about brokenness. But tonight I want to talk about strength for the day. Strength for the day. I'll be honest with you, as everything in America just seems like it's full of turmoil, and you read the Bible and talks about the end days and how wickedness abounds. It feels like that today. It just seems like criminals are leading the charge. And, you know, I want to encourage you tonight about strength for today. Here you have basically a delivered people about to enter the promised land. You know, keep in mind that you go back to, you know, the kids' song, 12 men went to spy in Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good. We see that basically the children of Israel had wandered in the wilderness for about 40 years now. And, you know, they could have claimed the promised land earlier, but at this point in time, they're about ready to enter the promised land. And keep in mind that I believe that like the Bible talks about, the days that we're in, I believe the people that, the people that go to church and that basically that look at us in the mirror, we're responsible for what's going on in America. You say, "Well, I haven't led a charge for a picket. I haven't looted a store. I haven't." But at the same point in time, God makes it very clear that righteousness exalteth the nation, and that if we want our land to be healed, we have to be doing certain things. And I'll be honest with you. If we're honest with ourselves, I think each one of us can say, "There's been areas in which I've dropped the ball." And, you know, the thing about it is I kind of wonder who would have got saved if I wouldn't have dropped the ball. But anyways, when it comes down to it, no matter what the reason is for the situation that we're in, we're in some interesting days. And but anyways, kind of going back and strength for today. You know, these people, they were delivered. We think about the Passover and how it was the blood. You know, we sing a song, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." It's referring to the Passover. And here's the thing, is the blood of a spotless lamb had to be applied to the doorpost. And then basically the firstborn was spared. And we see that the children of Israel were led through the Red Sea. What a tremendous, tremendous display about God's protection. And by the way, both are pictures to the believer on, hey, listen, when the blood is applied to our lives, you know what? We never have to touch hell. I tell you what, how exciting that is that when we trust Christ as our Savior, you know what? With as horrible as hell is, we never have to experience it. And this is an admonition for all of us that, hey, listen, we need to share the gospel with everybody we meet, because the same is true with them. If the blood's not applied to the doorpost of their heart, then listen, they're going to split hell wide open. But if the blood is applied, if they've trusted Christ as the Lord and Savior, you know what? They will be on their way to heaven as well. But when it comes down to it, we see the last words of Moses to his people. They were both words of warning and words of promise. And like any good leader, he was trying to encourage them, but he was trying to warn them at the same point in time. You know, Moses prepares them for their promised land, just like a pastor prepares his church for the coming day. I tell you what, I am so thankful for our pastor. He has vision for the future, but at the same point in time, he admonishes us different things that we need for today. And so this is exactly I believe that the heart of Moses is a lot like the heart of a pastor. See, here's the thing, is God leads and God directs a pastor, and that's why God places them in that position. And just like a good leader, they give us words of encouragement. I love war stories, and to read some of the admonitions of some of the generals before they went into an important or serious battle. Here's the thing: is some of those words are just inspiring, and they make you want to pick up your gun and just charge forward. And those of you in the military, maybe you've experienced that. I don't know. You probably have a lot more experience with that than I do. But here's the thing: is when it comes down to it, Moses here is preparing them for their promised home, just as a pastor, God uses a pastor to prepare us for the future, just like God leads a pastor. And so here's the thing is we see the assurance to Asher for all of his days. Let's read one more time, Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 25. The Bible says, "Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be." Here's the thing is God knows all of our days. You know, aren't you glad that we serve a God that knows? Here's the thing is, you know, one of the most depressing things would be to think that no one cares. You know, and I'll be honest with you, that's what the world experiences every day is they don't know God. That, you know, a lot of times they know that there's a hole or a longing for something, but they don't know that God is the only one. Why else would they have their wild parties and go to their drunken stupor or look at the drug problem nowadays? It just seems like there's so many people looking for something, but they're not finding it because it's God. But here's the thing is, you know what? We serve a God that knows our days. You know, God knows exactly what's going on. Nothing took him by surprise. All these riots and all the looting and all the wickedness, all the abortions, all the everything. God knows what's going on. You know, Asher may have difficult days ahead, days of toil and trouble and days of temptation and fear. But you know what? Basically, God promises that he knows our days as well. He knows what's going on in our lives. He knows the trials that we're facing. He knows the health problems that we're dealing with. He knows the financial strains. He knows the economy. He knows when our cars break down. Here's the thing is God knows what's going on. And God knows the future from the foundations of the world. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, we see that God knows all, but God has known for a long time. And Matthew chapter 13 and verse, we'll be in Matthew for a little bit, 13 and verse 35, that'll be 1341. And so the Bible says in verse 35, "That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world." See, God knows all of our secrets. You know, there's things that Jack is a wise man. You know, there's things that are secrets to Jack. There are secrets to Brother Tyner. There are secrets. Here's the thing is, there are some things that none of us in this room know, but praise the Lord, God knows. And so here's the thing is, you know what? There can be a dictator that's got secrets. God knows. We can have secrets in our lives, and God knows. And so when it comes down to it, God knows the future from the foundation of the world. He knows the secrets. Look in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34. Just a few pages over. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34. The Bible says, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And so we see that the kingdom was prepared from the foundation of the world. And kind of moving right along for sake of time, turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. You know, God knows all. And by the way, Revelation 13 verse 8 refers to the fact that God doesn't just know all. He prepares for all. And the Bible says in verse 8, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Here's the thing is, the Bible talks about how the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. You know, God is not bound by time. And when it comes down to it, God knew. Here's the thing is, I'll be honest with you. Adam and Eve didn't take God by surprise. Here's the thing is, I'm sure that he'd hoped that Eve and Adam would make the right decision. But you know what? God had a plan prepared from the foundation of the world. And by the way, I'll go ahead and turn there if you like to. You can turn there as well. Luke chapter 11. And I'm going to turn there quickly for sake of time. Luke chapter 11, verse 50. The Bible says that the blood of all prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. And so God knew those that were martyrs. God knew those who went through persecutions. And by the way, nothing is hid from God. You know, that's good and bad. It's just like this. Every time, how many have been there where you drive by a police officer and what do? Automatically check the speed. And, well, here's the thing is, and I'll, you know, if that needle is a little higher than normal, your heart sinks a little bit, you know, and you kind of die a little bit on the inside thinking, please don't pull out, don't pull out, you know. And here's the thing is, but you know what? It seems like if that needle is right where it's supposed to be, then I tell you what, you're not worried so much. You know, maybe if you haven't checked your light bulbs enough, maybe you're worried that a light bulb's out, but that's minor compared to a speeding thing. And, you know, but here's the thing is when it comes down to it, listen, you know what? Nothing is hidden from God. That can be good or that can be bad. And by the way, you know what? If we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, if we're reading our Bible, if we're praying, if we're trying to seek God's will and we're trying to do it, then you know what? The fact that nothing is hid from God, It's kind of like looking down at that speedometer and that needle is right where it needs to be. But you know what? If that needle is a little higher than it should be, the fact that nothing is hid from God, well, all of a sudden your attitude towards God knowing everything changes. And so, here's the thing is, by the way, this is why I think that whole deal about defunding the police is a bunch of baloney. Because just their presence keeps order. And so, but here's the thing is when it comes down to it, nothing is hidden from God. God knows all of our days. And the next point is God knows the limit of us, of our strength. He knows what it takes to equip us for these future days. I'll be honest with you. I alluded to this, last Sunday school. I'm glad that I don't know the future. Because I think that sometimes the future scares us. You know, I'll be honest with you. I go back to high school days. If I knew that I'd be an assistant pastor of a church and kind of doing different things that I'm doing now, that probably would have scared the pea waddle and daylights out of me. And anyways, because at that point in time, you know what? Some may argue that I still can't, but I could not public speak to save my life. And but when it comes down to it, listen, God prepares for the future. Because He knows the future, He equips us. And by the way, the Lord knows our breaking point. And He will not, the Bible talks about how He will not allow us to go beyond that point. But the thing about it is you know what? Sometimes He tries to prepare us and we refuse to be prepared. You know, the young people, you know, having children that are growing up and getting nearing the adult stages. And, you know, it was easier when they're toddlers. You just had to keep them from shoving their finger in a light socket and not pooping themselves, you know. Now, shower, you know, and anyways, get ready for, but anyways, there's a lot more things. And so it's harder when they get older. But when it comes down to it, the idea is to prepare them for the future. Prepare them. Because I'll be honest with you, a lot of young people stumble into the door of adulthood. And they make terrible decisions that they live with for the rest of their lives. I don't know, you know, here's the thing. I'm not going to have a show of hands, but I'm sure that if we ask the question, how many made stupid decisions when we were young that we wish we hadn't made? I bet you most of us would raise our hand thinking, you know what? There are a lot of things I wish I would have done differently. But when it comes down to it, God is trying to prepare us. And sometimes just like we make dumb decisions now. And here's the thing is, God knows the future. This is why we've got to trust God. Because I'll be honest with you, I don't know if I'd handle the future so well if I knew the future. But if I just trusted God and said, God, You know the future, I'm going to trust You, He never makes a mistake. He never does, oh, I shouldn't have. That's God never done that. Nothing takes God by surprise, and God hasn't made a mistake. Well, listen, there's been a lot of times I've done, oh, but you know what? So we shouldn't be the ones dictating our future. I don't know of anybody that's perfect other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here's the thing is that He knows those days where we feel like we're at the end of our rope. He knows when we're tired. It seems like when we're tired, we're more prone to make dumb decisions. And I remember Dr. Hiles used to preach a sermon, don't make decisions when your decision maker's broken. And by the way, one of those times was when we're tired, when we're disgusted, and like Pastor Hester in Michigan says, dusted, busted, and disgusted. And so here's the thing is, when your decision maker's broke, you don't make decisions. But here's the thing is, He knows all that. He knows when we're tempted. He knows when we're discouraged. He knows when we're maybe about to give up. He knows when we're oppressed. But best of all, He cares. I know He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with, I don't remember the last word, my grief. And so anyways, and he wasn't even married. No, just joking. But anyways, so listen, when it comes down to it, God knows all of our days. He knows the limit of our strength. And the best part about this is, point number three, is He compensates for our weakness with His strength. You know, there's promises of strength for the weak. I think about Psalms chapter 27 and verse 14. He shall strengthen thy heart. By the way, God never intended for us to go through life all on our own. God never intended for us to try and endure with our own strength. The problem is where most of us fall, it's because we've tried to do it on our own strength. We've tried to use our own wisdom. We've tried to use our own, just like I talked about this morning with that, with the water wheel trying to run the mill, and how when upstream there's a bunch of logs clogging the water, how the guy tried to get a bunch of his friends to turn the mill. It's just not possible. You know what? I'll be honest with you. A lot of Christians nowadays, they're trying to turn the water mill all by themselves, and it just ain't working. And you know what? They're getting more and more tired. They're getting more and more disgusted. Here's the thing is, we need to take and allow God to strengthen our heart. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, shall renew their strength. I don't know about you, but it seems like daily I need renewed strength. The Bible talks about so much the more as you see the day approaching. I'll be honest with you, it seems like nowadays Christians are falling away. Not all of them, and I believe there's still that core group that just trusts God and charges forward. But you know what? One Christian falling away is too many. And we need more good soldiers of Jesus Christ, not less. But the thing about it is that it seems like if we don't get strength daily, if we don't get strength for every moment, you know, the thing about it is it just seems like there's so much being bombarded at us from the world. The world is telling us, well, you know what, you can choose your gender, and you know what, it's like Baskin-Robbins, there's more genders than there are flavors of ice cream. And it's like, no, that's not the way God intended. And it's like, you know, here's the thing is, the world is telling us, well, it's okay to murder babies. No, it's not okay to murder babies. The Bible says it's not, and that it's murder. And so here's the thing is, the world bombards us with so many philosophies. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. Satan is powerful, and Satan is strong. And the moment we underestimate Satan is the moment we think we can handle it on our own strength. And I'll be honest with you, we can't handle it. There's a reason why so many times throughout the Bible, in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, I will strengthen thee. Why? Because we have to be strengthened by God. We can't do it in our own strength. And by the way, as we live life in these, what I believe to be end times, or towards the end times, you know what? I believe the rapture is right around the corner. I still think about Joe Boyd when he used to preach, and he'd preach about the rapture, and he'd talk about come up hither, and I can't do it quite as good as he did, but you know what? Listen, I think one day we're going to hear the trump. One day we're going to be called up to meet Christ in the air. And listen, when it comes down to it, I think it's coming soon. But you know what? So much the more as you see the day approaching, we need strength to stand. We need to see folks saved. I tell you what, we don't know how much time we have here on this earth. You know what? We can't afford to just waste our time away. The Bible says even if Christ doesn't return now, our life's but a vapor. It appears for a little time and vanishes away. You know what? Like the old saying, we're burning daylight. And what happens is, you know what? We don't have time to waste. We need His strength. We need to take His strength by faith. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. But anyways, I can do all things. Is that where the verse ends? No. Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I'll be honest with you, in days like this, we need a miracle. We need Christians not just acting in their own strength. You say, how do we think about this for a moment? In such a with the education department system the way it is, teaching that we all come from a bunch of apes. Teaching that God isn't around or God isn't alive, basically teaching atheism and evolutionism and all these other isms. Here's the thing is, imagine the miracle of walking up to somebody that has never heard about Christ before, sharing the gospel and having them bow their head and pray and trust Christ. That's a miracle. And by the way, that doesn't happen without God. That doesn't happen without us getting strength and power. And the Bible talks, when we study evangelism, the Bible talks about all power is given unto me. Well, here's the thing. It's not of my own strength. If we're going to see folks saved today, I tell you what, now more than ever, it takes a miracle. If we want to see a life changed, we're not going to be able to do it. Here's the thing is, I could mentor somebody until I'm blue in the face. And by the way, that's why a lot of these secular mentoring places, they may see a little bit of good, but you know, I tell you what, you know who changes a life? It's Christ. I can apply all kinds of wonderful philosophies. This is why the 12-step AA thing. You know what? I believe that it's God that changes a life. And so here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, His strength is sufficient for all we face. Consider the cross. And consider all that God endured for us. The pain, the mocking, the scourging. And I'll be honest with you, what are our trials compared to His? If God had enough strength to endure the cross, I tell you what, most people dying scares spitless. And so when it comes down to it, you know what? He went through all that agony, for one, as an example to us, but two, is because He loved us. Think about the resurrection. I tell you what, the fact that He conquered death. There's a lot of people that wish they could conquer death. There's been multiple excursions trying to find the fountain of youth. You know what? It ain't out there. But you know what? I tell you what. Who is out there is a loving God that says, you know what? I will strengthen you through these times. And I tell you what, the same God that is powerful to raise up from the dead is the same God that is powerful enough to give us strength through the days that we face. And so here's the thing is, as we close on looking at strength for today, let me just encourage you, no matter how bleak the world gets, you know what? Christ is coming again. And you know what? Here's the thing is, we need to take and rally the troops and charge forward. I'll be honest with you. We were a part of a church one time where it seemed like all they were doing was circling the wagons. And you know what? During that time, all they accomplished was circling the wagons. They accomplished very little. But you know what? When you decide to charge forward, realize that God isn't in the retreating business. Hey, listen, He's got too much power. You look at David and Goliath. Even when the odds seem stacked against you, here's the thing is, God plus anyone equal majority. You know what? I'm sure all the people that were betting against David. I tell you what, that Goliath, 4-1 that, I don't know, what are the odds, Brother Plymouth? And I'm just joking, he doesn't gamble. And anyways, but here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, you know, I'm sure everybody would bet against David. But you know what, I tell you what, David knew that with God, anything was possible. And so if God told David to go out there and conquer that ugly Philistine, the Goliath, the monster, then David knew, hey, if God wanted this guy down, bless God, he's going down. And so when it comes down to it, we need to have the same faith in realizing that, you know what? God has a work for us at Calvary Baptist Church. You know what? God's not done. He still wants to see souls saved. He's still got a work for us to do. He still wants us to send missionaries. He still wants us to accomplish great things for Him. And you know what? If we trust Him and we do it in the power of His strength, you know what? Great things will still happen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Your Word, and we thank You so much for the fact that You give us strength for today. We thank You for the fact that nothing takes You by surprise and that You know all. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the fact that You know our weaknesses. But dear Heavenly Father, more importantly, I thank You so much for the fact that You can strengthen us for each day. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.